Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peake, and welcome to episode 89 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. And this time it's her defending her from the unthinkable. But before we start into our episode, just know it's made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, go to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode and rate and review this podcast, because guess what? I read these, I love them, and I want to connect with you, want to hear from you, so please do so. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Oh boy, what a world we live in. And learning how to defend yourself from bad things is really important. Hey, if you've ever thought you're just going to blow this thing off, forget about it. Just read any headline and say to yourself, could you defend yourself if something like the unthinkable did actually happen? Well, we got a new book all about that and a fabulous expert. Boy, has he got some experience to be able to share his wisdom, his experience, and a way for women to be able to start negotiating this, well, 21st century living. Steve Cardian has written The New Superpower for Women. All right, he's a self-defense and criminal expert who regularly appears on television and in print. He's been all over the place. Dr. Phil, Fox and Friends, yay. CNN, The Today Show, The Wall Street Journal, and it just keeps going on. And he has an organization, Defend University, has taught over 200,000 women practical self-defense techniques and strategies. Take that. Take this. He believes that every woman is capable of learning how to decrease the chances she will be seen as an easy target and increase the chances of effectively protecting herself. Wow. All right, Steve, welcome to the Her Podcast.
My pleasure, Doc. Thank you for having me.
Well, phew, you know, this whole issue, you know, kind of gives a lot of women the creeps. It's like, God, I hope it never happens. But then you open up USA Today, where you've been quoted, right? And
yes,
it says yet another home invasion took place. I remember one where a woman finally had been given some lessons in how to use a gun, and she just blew the guy straight through the ceiling. And, you know, couldn't believe she'd actually done that. And it was a horrific experience, but she survived. Wow. So tell me, why'd you write The New Superpower for Women?
Well, my organization, I have instructors all across the country and around the world. As a matter of fact, recently a woman traveled from Kenya to take my class. She was a survivor of the Westgate Mall. We have them in Australia, Spain, Malaysia, Ireland, England. And I've got hundreds of instructors that rely on what we believe is the most important thing that a woman can do, and that's empower herself with knowledge and information that'll keep her safe. Remember, we look at self-defense as an efficient and effective means of defending oneself, but it's always the last resort. When everything else is broken down, the good gift of intuition, her decision-making may have been manipulated, compromised, or skewed. So, you know, to empower them with knowledge and information about what the predator is looking for, how to be a hard target versus a soft target, and the variety of the many other things that are in the book, it empowers them with the knowledge and information that'll keep them safe prior to having to employ defensive tactics, if you will.
Well, how do predators decide whom to target?
Well, you know, back in the early 80s, there was the Greystone-Stein study, and those two experimenters took a video of people walking on a New York City street, and they did it over a period of days during a specific time period. People didn't know they were being watched. And they took it to a prison where they dealt with murderers, rapists, killers, and they showed it to them, and they asked them to pick out the soft targets. And aside of anybody's stature or their age, you know, they let small statured female, they let small statured men, they let big men walk by or selected them as soft targets. But they all independently of themselves selected particular people, all the same people as the people that they would point out within less than 7 seconds and select them to be targeted for some sort of criminal activity, whether it be to scam them, whether it be to rob them, whether it be to kidnap and rape them. They all selected the same person. So what we did, we delved further into the book, and we actually took and created illustrations of, you know, what they were talking about in terms of their stride, in terms of their gait, in terms of their posture. And these are all things, you know, or you hear all the time, you know, walk with confidence, walk assertively, you know, walk with a presence. But nobody really shows you exactly what the predator's mind is looking for, how he chooses you over somebody else as the soft target or vice versa.
Well, give me a classic. You know, here we are on radio, so, you know, my wonderful Her podcast listeners, prior to getting your book, which of course they're going to do, you know, they don't know, like right now they're like worried, what should I look like when I'm out there? I'll give you an example, okay? So I'm 5'9", I'm a lean, mean fighting machine, I'm a triathlete, I'm muscular, but I'm lean and mean, and so I'm taller, right? And I learned a long time ago to walk with that confident stride, and I think athletes tend to do that anyway a little bit. You know, they have a different kind of stride. They tend not to stoop over and whatever. So
right.
Many times I say to myself, and you tell me if I'm wrong, you're the expert, that because I'm taller, I have that kind of a composure and stride that I'm less likely to be a target. Is that true?
Well, yes and no. Based upon your background, you're more inclusive of the product necessary to present yourself as a hard target, despite your physical stature. And I'll share a couple of stories with you. Number one, I was with my dentist, who happens to be 6'3", about 275 pounds, and we were talking about the subject. And he says, you know, I'm a big guy. I wouldn't be the kind of guy that would be targeted. You know, somebody your size would. And I look at him and I said, you know, you're a soft target. You know, you present yourself, he just presents himself as a soft target despite his large stature. And here's what I did with, I did 21 out of 21 girls on hidden camera on Inside Edition and NBC. For example, I went to a college campus. It had never been done before in the history of the United States. And my job was to select the soft target and try and lure myself into their car and have them drive away with me in less than a minute. Out of the 8 girls that I selected, small, big, medium size, how many of the 8 do you think let me in their car in less than 30 seconds and drove away?
The majority?
All 8.
Yep, see, yeah. I was right.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's you know, the woman that walked out, shoulders forward, chest forward, shoulders back, and she scanned. Scanning is a big thing. We call it in law enforcement, as you know, keep your head on a swivel and watch your 6. Well, if you walk into a structure, and I was watching them walk out of the classroom building, and I was selecting this, what I believed was the soft target, the girl that was on her cell phone, the girl was listening to music in her earbuds, the girl that was texting, the girl that was eating her lunch, or the girl that walked out and just said, wow, it's a beautiful day, I'm out of here. Those were the women that I selected. The girl that walked out, scanned the parking lot as she walked, I let her go by because I knew it would be less than 50% of a chance that I'd be able to compromise her integrity. So it doesn't really matter what you look like. It's more of what you're comprised of inside. And you don't have to be, you know, a bad ASS. You don't have to be a tough person. All you have to do is project yourself as one. And the predator, more than 50% of the time, will look elsewhere. So it's not so much about the stature. I'm 5'7" and 165 pounds. I've been involved in probably close to 300 physical encounters in law enforcement. And, you know, if I walk into a room, you know, it's my presence that I'm not afraid to get hurt. And I project a certain air about myself of confidence in my ability to do my job. And that's a big part of it. If you even appear to be a hard target, even if you're not, that's why I have women practice in the mirror, women that are having a difficult time, embracing that theory, because they're just, you know, that's the way they were brought up in our society. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes we teach our women to be very accepting and, you know, to be very polite and to be very nice. And they carry that with them through their lives. So I have the woman, it's okay. Once you tell them, it's okay to tell this person in a nasty voice, using curse, using whatever words you need to do to convince him, it's okay to do so. And when you give them that blessing, it empowers them with the knowledge and the ability to do it. It's just like when I'm doing a class and I'll walk up to a girl, not the quietest girl, not the loudest girl, the girl in the middle, and I'll walk up to her and I'll put my hand on her shoulder and I'll get real close to her and say, "How are you liking the class? Where are you going to college? You know, where do you live?" And she'll stay right there, and I'm obviously violating her space. And I'll say, "Let me ask you something. Am I too close?" And she'll say, "Yeah." And I say, "Here, watch. And just do this. You know, just step back." And once they do that, once you give them the okay, because people have been telling them otherwise, they embrace it.
Well, let me throw something up to you.
Sure.
You know, in anticipation of this wonderful Her podcast episode, I had a number of women come to me and say, "Ask him this question. Are we joggers and runners, you know, wherever we are in the park or on a street or wherever else, you know, when you know you're plugged into music, right?" And sometimes it's not even that obvious because you can have those wireless things now, not just the stuff wire flying all over the place.
Sure.
But are we soft targets just because we're runners and we're listening to music?
Well, the predator looks at you with earbuds on as a softer target. You may not be, you may be, you may not be. However, understand that when you remove your auditory sense, you're taking away one of your God-given gifts of your alert process. Now, think about this. Your hearing can be 20 to 100 times more sensitive than your visual sense. And we see that. How bad are witnesses that witness a crime? How bad are eyewitnesses in a criminal action? You know, we always need way more corroborating evidence. Your auditory sense is one of your eyes. Your visual and auditory sense are your first two lines of defense. Now, you've just taken away 50% of your most valuable game. So by taking away the auditory sense, you can allow someone to sneak up behind you. You know, our mind, 80% of our mind is dedicated to the subconscious. So if you hear something behind you, it might be, everything has a baseline. So picture a baseline at a beach will be certainly different than on a street in Manhattan. So when we hear a deviation from that baseline, what should be the norm for that area? You know, kids playing, kids are walking through a park, kids playing, and, you know, volleyball games. But when you hear somebody screaming or you hear loud voices, you don't even have to know exactly what they're saying to know it's not a good thing. So by removing that auditory sense, which is, again, 20 to 100 times more sensitive to alert you to danger, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage automatically. And I suggest to women, there's one time that I say that absolutely wear your earbuds. And that's if you're walking through, say, a major city, and you know you're walking into an area where there's a construction site, and you know, because it's happened to you before, that you're going to be catcalled. You put on your earbuds, and you walk past them. And even if they're catcalling them, you deny them of what they're seeking, which is to your attention and to annoy and harass you. So, yes. And we look at the case, Katrina Vetrano in Queens, which I covered on Fox and Friends and Inside Edition. I actually reenacted it with Inside Edition. And we had that case within 9 days in Massachusetts, in Princeton, Massachusetts, I believe, very rural. And, you know, both of these women were randomly chose. Both were wearing earbuds, and they were both assaulted and killed, sadly.
Wow. So, wow, I kind of, you know, I've heard this so many times, it makes all the logical sense in the world that you're cutting off an incredibly important sensor for danger, no question about it. I was thinking of two ways to be able to kind of work around this, and one is to run in packs. So
yes.
Obviously to walk and run in packs of women, and that means oftentimes more than one. And, you know, again, the women really have to be aware of their surroundings, et cetera. And the other thing I have is, honey, listen, I got a protection trained German Shepherd that runs with me. Yeah, God bless. Think twice before you mess with this canine. And I'm not being cocky about it, because obviously anyone could shoot a dog too, God bless. But
yeah, dogs are a number one deterrent, especially in home breaking.
Are they really?
Home invasion.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously.
If there was a survey done of criminals to say what would be a great deterrent, and a dog would cause them to move on to a softer target. Absolutely. So, yes.
Wow.
Yes. People are afraid of especially large dogs. I grew up with shepherds, and I've worked with police dogs, and they can be very, very intimidating and convincing in what they do.
Well, they if you've ever heard a German Shepherd bark, it sounds like them, the dog from hell, because they have this really deep bark, and they just sort of get the job done by opening their trap. So it really works. And of course, you're going to love the name of my Black Shepherd. He's a rarity. He came from the Eastern Bloc. His name is 5-0. And you're laughing, but my wonderful listeners out there, 5-0 is vernacular for police officer. So he's just sort of out there doing his little thing, trolling. And I've actually watched him in action as he's been able to, he scans, he's vigilant and
oh,
he's
yeah.
trained to scan. And so if he sees anything that's not great, he'll stop dead in his tracks. And you never want to see a German Shepherd stop dead in their tracks and stare you down. That's a very bad thing. You need to go immediately.
Yeah, their senses are unbelievable. Yeah. Especially their hearing. Their eyes, of course, are not as keen as ours, but their hearing is way, way more sensitive and way more.
And their nose.
And their smell.
Nose.
Yeah, yeah. They,
oh
they
my
could,
God.
They could smell a perp. I mean, they could smell somebody with bad intentions. And
there
we can too. I mean, in prehistoric times, that was we used that more for hunting and tracking. When, in times when there weren't even streetlights, we relied on that sense. And as we didn't have the need to do that anymore, it's like anything else, it became somewhat diminished. But we still have you don't have to see fire to smell it. You don't have to see a cigarette to realize somebody near you is smoking. You don't have to see a homeless person to actually, if you're walking through Grant, well, these days they're back now, but, the homeless population's increased in New York City. So when you're standing very close to a homeless person.
Mm-hmm. Now, my question to you is this. This is another burning question. This is why we were so excited about this podcast with you, Steve. This whole issue of fighting back. We hear it all the time now. Help us understand why it's always important to fight back.
Well, it's always important to fight back, and it's even more importantly to fight back effectively. See, if I teach, our program is very specific to anti-sexual assault, anti-kidnapping, anti-domestic violence, anti-date rape drugs, because most self-defense programs out there, and it doesn't matter what you take, anything is better than nothing, but most self-defense programs teach a woman how to fight like a man. Now, you take a woman and put her up against a man, she fights like a man. Through evolution and genetics, typically, in that dynamic anyway, men typically are bigger, stronger, more pain-tolerant, and men have a reptilian brain. So I know you've seen real fights being in the time in your law enforcement.
Oh,
yeah. Guy punches back. Guy kicks back. Guy bites back. So conceivably, if a woman punches a man in the face, she's going to be hit back considerably harder. And as someone who's been struck in the face in a real life fight, it's like a lightning bolt going through your head. And if you've never been exposed to it, it's shocking. So what we do is we reverse that process. We began teaching them to fight like a girl or fight like a woman, using their bigger, stronger, more powerful muscles against a man's more vulnerable points. And so we actually put the women in positions they'd find themselves in if they were being dragged from point A to point B, or the primary to the secondary location, which we know is in the 90th percentile, unforgiving if it's a stranger. And then, we put them in actual sexual assault positions. So it's not real to them. I've had dozens and dozens of martial art females that have come to take my course who have been assaulted by their non-martial art acquaintance or their non-martial art boyfriend. And the first thing that goes through their mind is, oh, my God, it didn't happen like this in class. So sometimes the reality of what we see in the dojo or in the karate martial art mindset isn't realistic as we see it on the street. So the dynamic of a sexual assault, you're going to be grabbed and you're going to be taken somewhere, or you're going to be grabbed and brought down to the ground. And if you don't know how to deal with that dynamic, it's very alarming and confusing, and it's going to be an energy you've never been exposed to. So fighting back, and we see there's a critical time period in many of the videos that we study. There's between 10 and 20 seconds where a predator is going to fight a woman, and if she can hold him off, can cause him to devalue his view of her as a target, that is huge. So the harder of a target you are, the less valuable you become, because he's only going to spend time is not on his side. You can never rely on somebody coming to your aid, but he doesn't know that. So he goes on that. The longer it takes for him to compromise you, and what does a predator need? We'll use sexual assault. He needs isolation and control. So he has to get you off that sidewalk in front of us. You know, I'm just thinking about an incident that happened in Brooklyn recently where it was captured on camera, where a guy came up from behind her, tried to yank her pants off, and then tried to drag her down the road, and she dropped to the ground and started kicking at him, and within 12 seconds, he ran away. She became that hard target. So to fight back, you know, it's hard to compromise another human being. That's why they strike you to gain compliance. That's why they choke you to gain compliance. And, you know, now we see, you know, years ago, it used to be the district attorney's office wouldn't, you know, prosecute a woman that had marks around her neck in the domestic violence, saying, oh, it was a harassment violation. But now every state across the nation has blood restriction and air restriction statutes that can be very serious if charged.
Wow. This is so definitely fight back. Let me ask you a question. Where is your Defend University? Where
Defend
University women wanted
based,
to learn more about it?
It's you can go to www.defenduniversity.com. Now, I ran a martial arts school for 25 years. I'm a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu third-degree black belt, Kyokushin black belt. I'm with world champion shoot fighting celebrity JKD expert Eric Paulson. But my women's program is not a martial art program. It's a woman-specific. So we're based out of New York and Phoenix, and what we do is mostly travel programs. If I'm doing a program in New York, you know, I'll rent a conference room. Like I'm doing one this weekend, actually. We have Play It Safe, Children's Self-Defense Instructor Certification, and I'm giving my instructors an advanced tactics and problem-solving seminar on Sunday. So I have travel mats. I've got travel mats for about 50 people. And, you know, I bring the travel mats with me to wherever I go because I go to, the last 6 months I've been at martial arts schools and the military. I just came back from the Marine Corps Depot, where I train members of the Marine Corps Depot, law enforcement, members of the Miramar military base. I was in Vegas at the Nellis Air Force Base. I was in Tampa at a martial arts school, Chicago at a martial arts school, Philadelphia at a martial arts school. So I travel all across the country to create instructors from their region so that they can bring it back to their police department and bring it to their community affairs. That I attract both the advocate and the professional martial artist looking to bring a bona fide women's program to their academy or dojo. And because it's woman-specific, it's a woman-specific self-defense program, the world champion martial artist and the advocate with no martial art experience start on the same level. The program is that different, that unique.
Wow. I this is just so terribly important. Now, if a woman is, you know, sitting out there in Omaha or something and can't get to New York and not going to be joining any of these things, what can she learn from your website? Do you have ways to be able for people to be able to subscribe and you know, be a piece of all of this? Help us with that.
The number one resource and the reason that I wrote the book, too, is my certifications are intensive. So we do 8 hours. Just the core program is 2 8-hour days. And, you know, once you perform that satisfactory, you become certified to teach. However, you know, I wouldn't be able to teach what's in the book in a 2-week program sitting in front of me. The resource would be the book. It is, in essence, the encyclopedia of safety for women. The concepts, however, can be applied to both men and women because it's not, you know, it's not women can only do this. It's everybody. You know, what lacks today in a lot of the training that's given is nobody knows what the predator is thinking, what he's looking for, how he operates, how he selects a potential target, what he may do to compromise you, that he may be, he may be scanning, or he may be doing the target glance, like you may be wearing an expensive pair of earrings or an expensive necklace or ring. And if you happen to catch him looking at that ring, it's kind of like us in law enforcement. If a predator looks at my gun, he wants my gun. If he's looking at the door or scanning around for an exit, he wants to escape. So we can see pre-indicators of behavior, and those pre-indicators are listed in the book, that will tell you that you're being assessed, that you're being targeted, perhaps for victimization.
Oh, I this is just fabulous. So I want to make sure that everyone out there knows that we're talking to Steve Kardian, and that's K-A-R-D-I-A-N. He wrote a wonderful book. I mean, this book is so important. It's like a Bible. You got to know this, girlfriends, because it's a wild and crazy time out there, and you've got to learn to defend yourself and understand that you do have power and empower yourself. So the title of the book is The New Superpower for Women. And Steve ought to know. He's been in law enforcement for over 30 years. He has a Defend University. You can go to defenduniversity.com, or is it .org? Tell me, is it .com or .org? Okay, .com. Learn more about Defend University. Of course, just Google him, and you're going to learn more about his wonderful work in the field of protection. Please, women, listen up. You got to know how not to be a soft target, because nowadays it is funky out there, and you've got to know to be able to take care of yourself, okay? Steve, thanks so much for being on the Herb Podcast. We're going to have women just racing over to get your book, The New Superpower for Women. And I want to make sure everyone out there knows to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And just take a moment and rate and review this wonderful episode we just did on protecting yourself. And remember, I read these things, so I love to connect with you. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD, and you can also check out our Her Show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.